Today's gospel is a continuation of Jesus' teaching from last week on the need to place our trust and our security in Him and not in our material possessions. And the right use of material possessions is an essential response of faith for disciples practicing a stewardship way of life. Jesus specifically addresses the fear of insecurity and insufficiency that can lead a person to care only for themselves, rather than generously and sacrificially caring for the needs of others. In the previous verses immediately preceding this passage that Deacon Chuck read, instructs the disciples about God's care for birds and lilies and the grass of the field. And the thing that that's all about is this: if God cares for these created things so well, then the Lord will care even more, way more, for His disciples who seek His kingdom. Jesus teaches the disciples that they can trust in the Father's loving and caring providence over their lives because God is in control of all things. Since the beginning of creation, God is in control of all things. God is in control. And with that assurance, there's no need to fear. God is in control. Who are we in comparison to God? And disciples who have received the kingdom, you know, have already one foot in the kingdom, we could say, must be disciples who freely give the kingdom to others. That is, they share their faith with others. They share everything with others. And for this reason, sharing your gifts that God has given you becomes a witness of faith in God's protection and providence for you, as well as your participation in the kingdom of God. It's a lot to think about. Yesterday was the feast day of St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. She lived her life in this way that I'm talking about once she was baptized as an adult. Her given name is Edith Stein. She was born in Germany in 1891 to a Jewish family, and she was a marvelous student. She was the best student in everywhere she went, brilliant. She declared herself an atheist when she was 13. Can you imagine? But she was a very smart person. God blessed her with a lot of intelligence. She loved learning, was always the top student, as I said. She became a noted philosopher. She was the protege of one of the really hot philosophers of that time in Europe, Edmund Husserl. She was a prolific writer and influenced a great number of women of her time through her writings. And in the midst of her studies in 1917, something happened to her that changed her life completely and forever. It was a simple event, but it changed her life totally. She visited a friend of hers named Anna. And Anna's husband had been killed in the war, that is World War I. And Edith expected to find what? She expected to find Anna crushed in spirit, perhaps suffering from depression, perhaps grieving deeply. But instead, she found that Anna's Christian faith had given her the strength to bear her loss. And Edith was deeply moved by that. It deeply moved her. Subsequently, she read the life of St. Teresa of Avila, and it was there that she found the truth that she was seeking, not in her philosophical studies, but rather in the Catholic Church. And she was baptized, Edith was, in 1922, continued her teaching career, and after much resistance from her family, she became a Carmelite nun in 1934. And she continued her writing in the convent as well and was rather prolific there. Some of her titles, they list that she wrote at that time was an attempt to an ascent to the meaning of being, which is kind of a play on a theme of St. Teresa of Avila, the science of the cross. They were scholarly works, but works filled with deep meaning. At the end of 1939, she was moved to a convent in Echt, Holland, on account of the Nazi persecution of Jews in Germany. In 1942, during the German occupation of Holland, she and her sister Rosa, who also was a Carmelite nun, they were arrested and transported to Poland to the Nazi concentration camp at Auschwitz. And there, they died in the gas chamber. She was canonized a saint by St. John Paul II and named co-patroness of Europe. Now, we have to think about this, what you just heard. How does a Jewish teenage atheist become a canonized saint? We could ask ourselves, how does someone who gave up a great academic career and chose to live a cloistered life, you know, they don't leave the convent, they spend their time in prayer, in fasting, and lots of prayer. She chose to live a cloistered life of poverty, chastity, and obedience instead of having this brilliant career. Well, I think we can find the answer in that she received the kingdom from our Lord at her baptism. And she knew that that is a gift to be shared with others. She knew that she was supposed to store up treasure in heaven, not on earth. How does someone give herself to martyrdom? Well, knowing from the depths of her heart and soul that God is in control of all things, there's no need to fear anything, even a gas chamber. And what about Anna, the friend of Teresa Benedicta? She too was given the kingdom, and she knew that just as God cares for birds and flowers, but more importantly, God cares for each one of us all the more. But do you think that Anna ever thought that that strength of faith that God gave her during suffering, grieving over the death of her husband, and that she showed her friend the tremendous faith that she had, do you think she ever thought that that would be the first step in Edith Stein's path to sainthood? I'm going to say no. She didn't think that. She was just doing what all of us as disciples are supposed to do. By our example, showing our faith in God. Well, what about us? When we say that disciples lead a generous life, it doesn't mean just being generous with our financial contributions, things like that, or sharing what we have with others. It means that we're quick to share all of the gifts that God gives us. That means we're generous in giving of ourselves to people in all ways, by being quick to help others in every way we can. We practice our discipleship because we know that God is in control of all things. And with that assurance, there is no need to fear.